All right, so we've been in a series called How Faith Comes. We use some Bible study courses for this. Brother Hagin has different ones, and this one we're using Bible Faith Study Course, and we've been going through some of these. That's what we've been using all along. So we've been talking about how faith comes. Why don't you go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 11. We'll start there, and then we're going to move on, recap a little bit of what we said last time. It is just good to feed your faith. Smith Wigglesworth was a preacher from England, and he had the practice of after he would get done with a meal, he'd pull back from the table and say, "You know, we've fed our natural bodies, now let's feed our spirit." And so he would read a little bit of the Bible, and feed continually on faith. And Brother Hagin used to say, just feed continually on faith and healing, because you feed your faith, you know how faith operates, you're reminding yourself of faith, how, because it operates the same in every area. See, what God's Word has the truth in every area that we need, but how you appropriate that truth and those, what He's bought for you in your life, is through faith. Jesus accomplished it all on the cross, but the way you receive it is through faith. So if you're strong in faith and you're stirred up about using your faith, then you can receive everything that God has provided. But if it's just, well, Jesus provided and it's out there, but you don't know how to receive it. See, a lot of people are in that boat. They're saying, well, God provided it all, it's up to Him. No, it's not all up to Him. If it was up to Him, everybody would be saved, everybody be healed, and we'd be out of here. But it's not all up to Him. And so faith is important, because that's how you come to God. The Bible we're going to read here, we might turn over there too, that it's impossible to please God without faith. We need to be strong in it. And then if you're strong in faith and you're strong in healing, well, if your body's working right and you're strong in your faith, you can receive anything from God. That's why it's so important that we stay stirred up in these areas. You can't overdose on this. Thank God. You can't get too much of the Word of God. You know that. Now, you can get off into the, you know, different areas and do weird stuff. People can get off weird, but that's not God. That's not the same as getting too much of God. You know, with natural things, we're tempted to eat too much of our favorite food. Right? Right? We're tempted to eat too much of our favorite foods. You're not. I am. Huh? You're there. Well, and you can overdo it. You can get sick and walk away. Just, you've done too much. But you can't do that with the Word of God. You can't get too much of the Word of God. Thank God. You can't get too much of His Spirit. You can't get too much of spending time with Him. And the more you spend time with Him, the more you get of His Word, the more you want. But that's a good addiction. We're supposed to be reliant on God. Did you hear me? See, when we, addiction on the earth, that means you need something to keep yourself going. That's never a good thing in the natural. I don't care what it is. If you think, well, I just got to have this or I can't keep going, that's a problem. Doesn't matter what it is. You could think it's just not a big deal, but it doesn't matter. What it is, you don't want to be reliant on anything on this earth. But God, we're supposed to be reliant on Him. You can't, Jesus Himself said, I can do nothing in and of myself. Well, if that's true of the Son of God, how much more you and me, right? No, we need Him. So we're supposed to be reliant on Him. It's not a crutch. That's the foolish thing that people have said. God is not a crutch. Well, you just need God. Well, if you only knew it, you need God. You just don't need it. You just don't know it. To be all that we're created to be. So we're created to operate with the Creator. And that's just part, the Bible tells us that. This is the handbook. So if the Bible tells us we need God, then we need God. That's like saying your car doesn't need oil. Try that. See how that works out for you. You know, that's not going to work well. Well, people get by, sort of, They live without God, but they're not thriving. We're not going to be what we're called to be. We're not going to live the type of life that we're called to live without Him. You guys found Hebrews? Hebrews 11, verse 1. Let's read verse 6 first, because we just quoted it. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, but for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Now, this is what we've been talking about, and we're going to get into it. When you're walking in faith, you're going to believe. Walking in faith is believing before you feel, before you see. So notice it says, he who comes to God must believe that He is. People are saying the opposite. In this world, there's a lot of people that say, well, if God's there, why don't He prove it? Well, He already has proven it if you just open your eyes. I was just looking out the window today and just looking at the clouds outside my office building, and just looking at the clouds and the landscape with the trees. And you know, you look at that and the way it's so beautiful, and people think that all just happened. And then I'm looking at the buildings across the street, and it's like, you know, there's this office building. And if you see a building there, you think, who built that? Who designed that? How did that get there? You're not thinking that just sprung up out of the ground. But then you step back and you see these things, that these buildings pale in comparison to the blue sky and the clouds and the trees, and people are going, oh, well, that just happened. Now, this is a really cool building. Somebody built that, but this, that defies common sense. It does. A child would not think that way. But we've been brainwashed. People have been brainwashed to think that. So they're like, we'll prove God exists. We'll prove He doesn't exist. Look at everything. But the Bible says you have to come to Him and you have to believe. What does it say here? For he who comes to God must believe that He is. When you come to God, you have to be believing. And that's why people don't see. And they say, well, I just don't see it. That's because you don't believe. When you start believing, this Bible becomes alive. People say, I don't understand the Bible. If you're not born again, it won't make any sense to you. But the moment you step out in faith and believe, now your eyes are open. And you start seeing. And you start understanding, because God has revealed it to you. But you have to come to Him in faith. Everything that when you come to God, you have to come to Him in faith. You have to be believing. And as you believe, you'll get more. You'll get more light, more revelation as you walk in what you have. Some people say, I want more. But what are you doing with what you have? What are we doing with what we have now? See, people have, they can see the sky and they can see the planets and the universe, and they're not acting on that. If they would act on that and say, somebody created this, God, I want to know You, they would take the next step. God's faithful. It would open up. They would have the gospel preached to them. But when people don't use it, they shut down on what is plain. They're not going to get more. So when we're walking, we need to understand that we need to walk in the light we have, and as we walk in the light we have, we'll get more light. And that's the way the Christian life is supposed to be. We're supposed to keep coming up and up and gaining more and coming closer to Him. We ought to know God better now than we knew Him 5 years ago. We ought to, in 5 years, know Him more than we do now. And it's just going to keep going on like that. 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years from now, we're going to know Him more. And there's more to know. That's how vast He is. We could be around 10 million years, 1,000,000,000 years, and there's still, we haven't even begun to know Him, because He's infinite. You guys doing all right this evening? He is infinite. So how do we come to Him? We got to believe something. Now look at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what we've been talking about a little bit. We're talking about how faith comes. Well, faith comes by the Word of God. Faith, it says here, is the substance or the foundation, what stands under the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So hope, when you see it in the Bible, it means to expect. So here it's saying faith is the evidence, is the foundation of things you would expect. And it's the evidence of things not seen. So you don't see certain things. You may not see heaven, but we believe it exists, and we believe we'll walk into it. Why? Because of faith. We've seen something, we've heard something, God has said it, and we believe it. See, seeing is not believing. Seeing it, people say seeing is believing. That's not true. You don't have to believe once you see. And this is where people get confused about faith. And so we've been talking about this. You prove God's word. When you act on it. God's word's true, but you are proving it in your own life by acting on it. Praise God. I'm gonna go ahead, you know, not everybody, I'm gonna hook up kind of where we were last time and then go a little further, but I'm just gonna read this account by Brother Hagin, this story of him when he was healed. If you don't know his testimony, when he was a teenager, he became bedfast. He had a heart problem. He had a blood condition. He became partially paralyzed. He couldn't really get up out of his bed, and he would read his Bible. He tells it. He would read his Bible, and it would take him a whole long time just to turn the page. He'd just be like this, and this, I'm doing it faster than he could do it, but it just took him a long time just to turn the page because he couldn't move. And he was supposed to die. The doctors around him, and they told him, with this condition, you shouldn't live past, you know, a certain age. And it, as he became close to that age and in his mid-teenage years, he was failing. And he saw some things in the Word of God and acted on them and saw that he could be healed, and he acted on them, and he got out of that bed, and his legs, he was, like I said, bedfast, and he acted on the word and believed God could heal him, and the Lord said, well, if you believe it now, well, people ought to be up at this time in the morning. It was like 10, 10:30, whatever. And so he got out of bed, and his legs hit the floor, and he was holding himself up, and he said there was something like hot oil hit him from the top of his head, went down his body, and his nerves just started coming alive, and it just hurt because he hadn't felt anything in his legs for a long time, and it was just like pins and needles, and he said it hurt, but it felt so good because he hadn't felt his legs. And so he's standing there, and he was healed, but he's still very weak. You imagine you don't use your legs. I mean, you know how that works. Your muscles are weak. So he is, what a lot of people don't realize, he didn't just get up and then everything was fine. He had to recover. And so he had to go out and he started working, and this job was pulling up peach trees by hand in a nursery. And so I just want to read this to you quickly because we're going to segue into the next part. But he said, I learned what faith is when I was raised up from the bed of sickness. After I was healed, I needed work. But this was during the depression days, and it was hard to find work. I had been bedfast for 16 months, and I needed clothes and other things for school. See, his dad left the family when he was growing up, and then his mom had mental issues, and so they lived with his grandma. And so, you know, this was depression days, so it wasn't like it is today. He said, I got a job at a nursery pulling up peach trees. We pulled up the trees by hand, one boy on each side of the tree. We had to pull them up for the orders that had come in. I want you to know that was work. It was especially hard for someone who had been bedfast for so long and who had only been up out of bed a few months. We would meet each other each morning before sunup and begin to work. Every day some of the boys would say to me, well, I didn't think you would make it today. You know so-and-so fell out yesterday and had to quit. I didn't believe in trying to push something off on someone, but I did believe in witnessing for God. So when they would say these things to me, it would give me an opportunity to witness to them about the Lord. I would say, well, boys, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here. You see, His strength is my strength. The Bible says the Lord is the strength of my life. That's Psalm 27, verse 1. Why don't you just turn there quick. Psalm 27, verse 1. This is an awesome scripture. As I said last time, when I read this a long time ago, I don't know how old I was when I read it, but just read his account of this and read this scripture, that really helped me, and it'll help you. If you have, you know, you ever have physical issues or, you know, just trouble getting up, feel weak, feel like you can't go, this is a good scripture. Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" But that latter part there says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." Everybody say that. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. See, that sounds like Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be strong, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might, not your might. So if you say, the Lord is the strength of my life, you're strong in Him. Well, this is, you might see that in the Scripture, but this is an illustration here of how to put it into practice. So it says, the Lord is the strength of my life. My life consists of physical as well as spiritual, and the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When I would say that, it would make some of those boys so mad that they would cuss about it. I would just smile and say, praise the Lord, I'll be here tomorrow and every other day because the Lord is my strength. Of course, if I had gone by my feelings, I would never have gotten out of bed because I felt like staying in bed. Notice he said, I felt like staying in bed. Now, why do we give these illustrations? Because they're illustrating what the Bible says, okay? This shows you how to walk in faith, and we'll talk more about this, but he didn't say, I felt like it. Boy, I got out of bed. I was healed. I've just been running ever since. That's not what happened. So you might have some days where you don't feel like certain things are going on. You can be believing for healing and having something go on in your body and it doesn't look good. That's not, if you're going by sight, you'll say, well, I guess it's not working today. We'll get into that more. You can't go up or down based on what you see. Did you hear me? If you start saying, when it starts looking better, oh, I guess it's working, you just switched into the natural realm. People say, yeah, but it looks like it's working. Looks like it's working. That's the same. If you start going by what you see and you start saying it feels better, so it must be working, then when it starts feeling bad, you're going to say, I guess it's not working. You guys with me? No, you don't look at that. It's real tempting to go, oh, now I can see it, and to back off, and you just switched into the mental realm, not the sight realm, not into the faith realm. He said, of course, if I had gone by my feelings, I would never have gotten out of bed because I felt like staying in bed. I never felt so weak in my life. I felt like I couldn't do anything. You guys hearing that? See, we're talking about the nuts and bolts of the way things happen, because some people get these ideas that, well, you believe God and everything is smooth and it just happened and you felt great. No, you have to believe Him. Faith, how faith comes is by what He said. That's by the word of Christ and you accepting that. So you don't move because He said it. Faith will be hooked up with what He said. It doesn't change. Does His word change? No, His word's settled forever. So it's not changing. So your faith, if it's real Bible faith, it won't change. Well, I don't feel like it today. So you got to hook up and say God's word said it. So he said, I never felt so weak in my life. I felt like staying in bed. He goes, I felt like I couldn't do anything, let alone a strenuous job like that, but I just stayed with it. I acted on the word because I knew what faith is. So I would say to the Father, to Jesus, to the Holy Ghost, to the devil, to myself, to those boys, if they ask me, the Lord is my strength. And then after I prayed and asked God for His strength and confessed that I had it, I would never get any help or strength until I actually started to work. Notice, he's acting on the word. See, most people want to say, well, I'll wait till I feel good, then I'll start. Backwards, it doesn't work that way. You see, it wasn't enough to have faith. I had to act on my faith. This is where many people miss what faith is. Remember, that's what we're talking about. They want to get what they are believing God for and then believe they have received it. But actually, it is the other way around. You have to believe you have your petition and then you get it. So we would come to work and I still wouldn't have any strength. But every morning when we started on the first tree or sometimes the second tree, I would feel something hit me on the top of my head. It would go through my body, out the ends of my fingers, and out the ends of my toes. It was the supernatural strength of the Lord. I would work all day long under the power of that strength. Finally, one fellow who weighed 250 pounds said, "I'll tell you, when this old 250 pounds is gone, there won't be one man left in the field." I replied, "Why, Alton, God weighs more than 250 pounds. When you fall out and quit, I'll still be here." He cussed at me, but at 3 o'clock that afternoon, he fell out. And it was the truth. I was the only man left. I was the weakest and the skinniest, but I was the only man left of the original bunch that started. And to show you how sufficient the Lord's strength was, the boss wanted to hire me permanently, so I proved God's word. This is an illustration he acted on. See, this Wednesday nights, we're talking about faith and healing. We just teach. So if we got to go back over something, you know, we just go line upon line. We got to go back and go to the next thing. We will. This is, we just go through and emphasize what we need to emphasize. But I wanted to go through that so we could go a little bit further. So you may see that you know, that you may say that you know God's word is good. See, a lot of people say, "Oh, yeah, I believe God." But you will never actually know God's word is good until you have acted on it and reaped the results of it. See, when you can say, "I've acted on God's word and seen it come to pass," there's a difference. Now, that won't stop the enemy from telling you it ain't going to work this time. He does that every time. "Well, you got it in the past, but it's not going to work this time." In fact, he'll say stuff like, "I just, you know, all that was fine, but that's a setup because now you're really going to go down." He's a liar. After you've seen it happen, "Oh, you're going to go down this time. You get through." No, it's going to work. If you just, you have to stick with God's word, and you don't see it. You got to act on it before you see it. Just like what Brother Hagin was saying, he did not feel strong. He didn't get up and go, "Ooh, ready to go out and pull up peach trees today. I'm ready. I'm strong. I can feel it." Now, he would go, and he's feeling weak. But he's saying, "The Lord is the strength of my life." While they're traveling, "The Lord is the strength of my life." He's going to the first tree and going, "The Lord is the strength of my life." Pulling up, maybe it doesn't even hit him. He's going to the second tree. "The Lord is the strength." See, in the face, it doesn't look like anything's happening. This is faith. How faith comes is by the word of God. So you're acting on the word of God, not what you feel or see. See, some people go, it's not working. What's going on? And we'll get to that in a minute, I think. So we prove God's word by acting on it. I mean, you're not making it true, but in your life, you're gonna find that as you stand on God's word, you're proving it in your life after you've acted on it and reaped the reward, reaped the results. So we talked to some about that last time and went a little bit further in some of those things. But I want to talk about this a little bit tonight. John Wesley said that the devil has given the church a substitute for faith that looks and sounds so much like faith, many people can't tell the difference. He called it mental assent. Now, follow me on this, because I read this a long time ago, and I'd be like, you know, okay, what's that actually referring to? But listen to the wording. You can tell. Because there's this thing, it looks like faith, can sound like faith, but there's some telltale signs. So for example, many people see what God's word says and they agree mentally that God's word is true. But they are just agreeing with their minds. Mental agreement with the word is not what gets the job done. It's heart faith that receives from God. That is why the Bible says, "For with the heart one believes." Go ahead, quickly, turn over to Mark 11:23. And we go to some of these same verses because we're just emphasizing these truths. There's lots in the Word. We go to some of those other things as well. Mark 11, verse 23. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, it's with the heart one believes. Here in Mark 11:23, we'll read that. You guys there? It says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt where? In his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So it talks about Romans 10:10, which we're not going to turn there right now, but it's with the heart man believes. With the heart man believes. You could say here, it says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, but does not doubt in his heart, but believes," you could say in your heart, because that's where you believe. It's not, he says, you're not doubting in your heart, but you believe. Where? In your heart. Romans 10:10 says that it's with the heart you believe. It's not with your head. So you're not believing with your head. When you're approaching God's word, you're not saying, "Okay, God, I understand that," and you're coming at it with your head. You don't believe Jesus is the Son of God with your head. Because your head may not understand that. And this is where people get off. This is where people fail and they miss the whole boat. Completely. Well, I just, you know, how could? And then people mock it. They're going to find out what they're mocking someday. You know, they start talking about, well, you know, this, how could the Son of God come to earth? And they'll mock God, they'll mock Jesus, saying, well, that's just all a fairy tale and people believe in that and they need a crutch. And you can't come and understand it with your heart, with your head, how Jesus came to the earth as a baby through a virgin and took the sin of all mankind, and that by you believing on him, you are ransomed. You're believing and receiving the ransom that God paid for you, and that by doing that, you are translated from the kingdom of Satan, of darkness, into the kingdom of light. Your head is going, what? See, it's not head. You don't approach God and you don't believe God with your head. So this is good news, actually. You go to God and you believe with your heart. That's the true you, your spirit. That's the part of you that's been born again. That's the part of you that's alive to God. The Bible says you'll worship him. True worship is worship in spirit. Not with your head. Not with your body either. It's another sermon, but glorify God in your body, but you worship him in spirit. And true spiritual worship is doing something with your body. People don't get that either. They think it's all about, you know, waving your hands and stuff. Thank God you can raise your hands to him, but what you're doing on the job, what you're doing at school, what you're doing at home is spiritual worship because you're subjecting your body. But anyway, that's another thing. It says, if you say, be removed and be cast in the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say will be done, he will have whatever he says. So the Bible never said one word about doubting in your head. It's not talking about your head understanding. You can have doubt in your head. In other words, you can doubt something and not understand in your head, but have faith in your heart, and it would still work. Did you hear me? You guys are quiet tonight. What's that? I said you can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart and still receive from God. It can still work. So some people start having doubts in their head, and they'll start saying, oh no, I'm not in faith. If you know what faith is, you can cast that aside. And this will help you break through. This is what we're talking about. This mental ascent looks like this. People say, well, how can I tell whether I have faith in my heart or whether I'm just believing mentally in my head? What is the difference? You can tell because mental agreement or mental ascent says this: I know God's word is true. I know God's promise. God promises me healing and the answer to answer my prayer for whatever I need. But for some reason, I can't get it. I can't understand it. Why don't I have what I asked for? Now I'm going to go over that again. Because for years, I'd hear, well, there's this thing called mental ascent. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I was like, gosh, how do I know if I'm in, maybe I'm just in mental ascent and I'm not in faith. I mean, how do you know? Here's how you know. Tell me, go back though. Tell me, how does faith come? Hearing the word of God. Okay? So, and I've seen a lot of people are in this boat. I've been there. I don't say I've arrived, but I've left. I've improved. I've gotten further. I don't have all the answers, but gotten further. When mental ascent says, I know God's word. I know He promised me healing. I know He Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I know by His stripes I was healed. I know He said He heals all my diseases. But it's not working. I don't understand it. I don't see it. Why isn't it working? That's the question. People say that. That is mental agreement. Why? Because what are you basing the fact? Why are you saying it's not working? What you see. Tell me how faith comes. By hearing what? The word of God. Did God's word change because your circumstance changed? So you stay. See, what faith is and what you'd act on faith is when it does not look like it at all, in spite of that, you say it's done because of what God's word says. And when that wanes, you slipped out of faith. See, we have to be convinced that God's word is true before we see anything, before we feel anything, and then you just stay there. You say, how long do I have to stay there? You stay there until... Until what? Until what you believe for is you're not believing for it anymore because it's there. But if you're waiting, if we're in this mindset, waiting while I'm seeing, I just don't understand why it's taking, I just don't know. I mean, it's up to God. See, all that is you're agreeing with God's word in principle, but acting on His word and saying, well, I got it. It's done. I don't care. This has got to change. And you stay there. That's faith from the heart. Because your heart is not moved by what you see. It's not moved by what you see. If it's Bible faith and you're believing with your heart, you won't move. You won't change. And see, you can play these mind games, and that's what they are, is mind games. And the devil's really good at mind games. That's why you don't want to play mind games. You want to just bypass that and stay in faith. You want to just speak the word. You come back to what God said in His word. Forget about, you know, all the peripheral things. Well, what about this? What about how? Well, if God's healed you, why do you have this? You start playing that game. See, that's all up in your head. The word didn't change. And if you'll just quote the word back, no, He Himself took my infirmities and bore my sin. That's done. I'm healed. According to the word of God, I have it. And you stay there. See, you can have a doubt in your head, like what we were just saying. You can have a doubt come to your head and say, well, what about this? Or, you know, it doesn't. You can be feeling and thinking, I'm not sure this is going to work. How is this going to happen? And that can go through your head. And if you know what faith is, in the face of that, with you feeling something, you can say, but I still believe, and not move an inch. Because you know faith is of the heart, it's not of the head. And so, in the midst of you having doubts in your head, you can stay firm. I've laid hands on my family, prayed for myself, and did not feel a thing, did not think any, you know, if I was going by feelings, I'd be like, this isn't going to work. And there's a temptation is to try to get yourself feeling good and then pray. But if you start out praying like that, you're already walking by sight and already walking by flesh. You're trying to get a feeling before you believe God's word. If you'll just, you get settled on what God said, and then you pray. You may not feel anything. Nothing. And you may have doubts like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I have faith. How would you know? You're going to believe God's word. But you could have doubts thinking, well, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know. But that's up here. And if you just say, nope, I know the word, and I'm acting on the word, and here we go, and stay there, and act on it in spite, then you see results. And some symptom will change. You'll be like, see, it's not working. If you'll yield, if you yield to that and say, and it's like, well, I don't know if it's working because what the symptom's changing. You've lost. You're slipping back into to the sight realm. You're saying, well, that's not, that it must not be. What? And then you go back to, what did I do different? Maybe I got to pray hard. I didn't have enough faith. That's what, I didn't pray. No, you just got whooped. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you slip out of that realm, that's when you get defeated. If you'll just say, it doesn't matter what I see. No, I prayed. God's word said that. It's said that I'm healed. God said if I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So I'm not moving. It's done. That's when you stay there, that's when you see it happen. But we get defeated. See, so many times we get tricked because we see something in the natural and we get tricked into thinking that means something's not working, but you're walking by sight, and so you drop it and you pull off, you back off on your faith. That's exactly when you need to press in and say, no. See, where tell me again, how does faith come? So right now, when you at this point, when you're feeling tempted by something that you see, you go back, what is your faith based on? God's word. Did it change? No. Just because I had this, I don't care. That'll change. That's a lie. See, the enemy will play a movie for you. No, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get worse, you're going to miss work, and your kid's going to miss school, and you say, no, that's not going to happen. That you just say it out loud. No, that will not happen. And you just stay there. That's when he's trying to push you to give up. And it hit you through your mind and through your senses. See, faith says, if God's word says it's so, then it's so. The promise is mine. I have it now. I have it even though I can't see it. That's Bible faith. That's the difference. That's different than I just don't understand why it's not working. See, if it's based on God's word, how do you know it's not working? Who said it's not working? Well, it doesn't look like it. Okay, you just answered your own question right there. Do you see that subtle? And a lot of people are going in a loop and they're saying, I just don't understand. I've heard it. I've heard the tape. I don't understand. Because you're defeated, because you're up here and you're acting on head knowledge instead of heart faith. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We're gonna go over some of this probably again next. We'll pick up there. We're not preaching just to preach, right? We want to get it down in here. Amen.